Must I rerun this pace? I'm the reason it's become this way, and their love for it is the reason I have become this prey. They love my darkness, I've made them heartless, and in return they have become a martyrs. I've been in the poem of many a poet, and I reside in the art of many a artist. Some of you smartest have tried to articulate my whole parkiness, but they're fruitless in their harvest. The drove rose from my footsteps. I'm the one that they follow. I am the one that they march with. Through the back alleys and the black markets, the oval offices, the crack houses and apartments. Through the mazes of the queens, the pages of the sages and the chambers of the kings. Through the veins of the fiends, a paper chaser pager, yo, I'm famous on the scene. One of the oldest, most ancientest things, speak every single language on the planet, yeah, I mean. I am the American dream, the rape of Africa, the undying machine, the overpriced medicine, the murderous regime, the tough guy's front, and the one behind the scene. I am the blood of this city, it's gas, water, and electricity. I'm its gym and its math and its history, the gunshots in the class, and you can't pass if you miss me, G. I taught them better than that, I taught them aim for the head and hope they never come back. I'm glad your daddy's gone, baby, hope he never comes back. I hope he's with your mother, with my hustlers high in my trap. I hope you die in this trash, I can't help it, all I hear when you crying is laugh. I'm sure somebody find you tied in this bag behind the hospital, little baby crack addict's head. Then maybe you can grow up and be a stripper, a welfare receiving prostitute and gold digger. You can watch on TV how they should properly depict you. The river shall flow with liquors, quench your thirst on my elixirs. I am the state haven for the rebel runaway and the resistor, the trusted misleader, the number one defender. And from a throne of their bones I rule. These fools are my fuel, so I make them cool. Baptize them in the water out of Scarface pool, and feed them from the table that held the Corleone's food. If you die, tell them that you play my game. I hope your bullet holes become mouths that say my name, cause I'm the...
Words of the man, Mr. Lupe Fiasco, often I was paying attention to what the man had to say. Catch on, and if you didn't, let me check the archives, play it again. He putting you up on game. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, your boy Pretty Tony in the building. Play rolling live, 2:30 Pacific Standard Time. As always, you know I'm here. The man, the myth, the legend, the... No more accolades for him. Sir K. Diddy Esquire, the elixir of love. Always scooted down in the back seat.
I'll accept the elixir of love, K. Dizzle, in the building. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm going to keep it cool and low-key today.
Oh, you're in a low-key kind of mood. You're keeping it cool and low-key today, huh?
Yeah, well, I'll let my intellect shine once again, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to disappoint my loyal fans.
Ladies and gentlemen, kind of play, we come through here and promote thought. We want you to dig into your mind, even though we laugh, we joke, we clown. Sometimes we downright just go at each other, but we're just trying to promote a thought. But the promotion of thought is something that's been under fire for the last couple of decades, especially for minorities. They're promoting a culture of ignorance. They're promoting a culture where they don't want us to think. I had a college professor friend of mine tell me the other day that he has kids coming into college, and when he asked them to write an essay, the words, you know what I mean, in the midst of the essay, they would put things like OMG, LOL, and they think this is standard language. Ladies and gentlemen, what are we? Life is more than 140 characters. You people have got to understand the difference between slang and communication.
Hey, I got a question. Are you talking to the people that once was even deprived the right of even knowing how to read? Are we talking to those people?
We are most assuredly talking to those people, but since you just want to be all blatant while I'm trying to be subliminal, like the song that introduced the show, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Those are directly who I aimed at, comment at, because we have got to promote thought. We have got to promote a point of view where we are able to communicate. We are able to not only effectively communicate, but also able to hold a conversation to promote all the points that we're trying to get across to each other. The name of today's show, Are We Truly Free? Part 2. Last week we started a significant amount of controversy. The emails rolled in. Some of you were upset at us because K. Biddy, in his always blunt self, straight up called some of you idiots, along with Joe from Montana. I, the politically correct figure on the show, tried to be more in the middle, to be the voice of reason. KBD, are you stepping away from those assertions, sir? Are you still moving forward?
Not at all. And you just really confirmed that thought about 2 minutes ago when you talked about people in their SATs and their essays and improper use of the English language. Wow. I mean, so you just made the point again. So I'm not stepping away from that. Prove me wrong. I ain't scared.
So that's what we're talking about this week. Once again, we're doing the part two to Are We Truly Free? In this year of 2012 in the United States of America, we have hit a bump in the road, and the bump in the road has been placed there by obstructionists. It has been placed there by those who do not want to see the have-nots become the haves. The haves and the have-mores are in the business of taking away from us. If you listen to me often enough, you notice that I will try to stay to the center because sometimes I agree with the right, sometimes I agree with the left. Hell, sometimes I even agree with the libertarians. But here on Can a Player Play, as we promote the playerology way of thinking, which is a philosophy designed, a lot of you hear the terms playerology. And, yes, it has to do with relationships and women and brothers stepping their game up. Shout out to Players Step Your Game Up. But it also has to do with uplifting the way we think, uplifting our mentality to become thinkers, a player for all my young urban males out there, because urban males, I've become more comfortable using that term because that terminology was once coined for the black man. But the urban male comes in varying forms now because we're a melting pot. And this nation of separation that they're trying to promote us to be is something that we cannot permit to occur because the urban male is now black, white, Latino, Asian, mixed race, you name it. They are the urban male, and they are the haves and the have-mores are in the business of trying to systematically not ensure that we progress into the great American dream. So that's what the playerology movement is about. And before I go any further, I want to make sure to thank the sponsors of the show, World Movement Records, www.worldmovement.com. They are the primary sponsors of the show, and we are so thankful for their constant support to the cause. As we move forward with the show, Are We Truly Free? We have been programmed since birth and beyond to grow up, conform, blend in. How can this be freedom? Images are programmed in our heads as though we're just born to assimilate, but we were born with the will to think. Now, early this week, one of those wonderful, smart people who I love to see on TV, the pundits, or whatever she is, a consultant to the Democratic Party, stepped on a landmine, which what we specialize in that on Can a Player Play. We launch grenades and landmines all the time. But she said Ann Romney, being a stay-at-home mom, blah, 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 blah. And this has launched a political platform. And as I sit in my humble abode, leading my middle-class life, and I stare at this wonderful TV as now Ann Romney has suddenly become prominent in the political conversation in our country. And I'm not belittling Miss Romney in any way, shape, or form because a woman who stays at home to raise her boys or her children in my book, is a hell of a woman, because that job is a very difficult job, to commit yourself full scale to the raising of your children. It's an important job. And too many people on... Go ahead, sir.
Don't even interrupt you, man, but see, is that our other stepchild hanging on there, man, waiting to get in?
I was just about to let him in. I don't want him to feel like,
you know, as a AB.
Gentrification, ladies and gentlemen, gentrification of our neighborhood is now in full effect. 111.
I got a good house for anybody who wants to buy it. If they don't like gentrification, they can buy the house. I got bought up the neighborhood. It's mine. I'm selling it at double what it was before. Anybody wants to buy, it's okay with me.
And ladies and gentlemen, the voice of controversy himself, the man who is not afraid to step on the grenade, Mr. Joe from Montana, as always with us.
Welcome, my brother.
Hey, Tony. I don't want to step on any grenades. I'll launch them. I'm not stepping on any.
And by the way, your suggestion, the fans, you know, I mean, overwhelmingly agree with you, sir. So we're only 90 minutes today because you said
we're
on a 90-minute show. Yes,
all
sir.
Right.
We're only 90 minutes strong.
Good. We can have more heifers calling in to try to tear Diddy and me and you apart. Come on, bring it. Come on.
Absolutely. Now, I'm starting the show with my conversation about Ms. Romney, and my esteemed colleague just interjected to make sure I let the Neighborhood Gentrification Program
there
fully
we go.
In.
Director.
So, as I'm sitting observing these wonderful people, and I want to make this clear, because I believe if you have a strong supporting family, and you are able to dedicate yourself fully to your children, that's important, because too many children are not getting enough love and nurturing that they need. My field of occupation lately, because I don't travel as much, has afforded me more time to be around my kids, and I truly appreciate what a stay-at-home mom has to go through in the raising of her children. Now, the wonderful Republicans, as they grasp for straws, and anybody who listens to me knows, I'm not a fan of the Democrats either. I think both parties are full of shit. But we'll talk about that in a moment.
You get that right.
Has made Ms. Romney and this wonderful Democratic strategist about the war on women. This is not about the war on women. Because let's be realistic about who Ms. Romney, let me give her correct respect. Let us be correct about who Mrs. Romney is. She is the wife of a multi-millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
So when they say she stays at home with the children, she probably has a staff that assists her in the raising of her children, a full-time nanny, a driver, and all the wonderful accolades that come along with being the wife of a multi-millionaire who just paid, and I'm sure Joe knows what I'm about to say, just installed a hydraulic garage in their, a lift in their garage to raise the car up. Tell them the cost, Joe. I know that you know how much the cost was. How much was it, Joe?
I don't know. I have no idea. But I
As you always do, my wonderful friend, it was a couple of $1 million, whatever it was spent to install hydraulic lifts in the garage to lift their cars up.
Oh, boy.
Most of us can never even have such a conversation. So how is Mrs. Romney symbolic of working, of women staying at home? You are the wife of multi-millionaire.
I don't know. All I know is I wish her people would talk to my people.
Yeah, right?
So, I don't know. We can cut through the chase, because I ain't hating the game. Listen, if you can have her people talk to my people so I can get one.
So you can get that too, right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I, by the way, I concur, you know, you can throw the email out there if the Romney camp wants to, you know, call.
Sure.
And put their people in touch with our people about some financial advice.
Because I look at it like this, T. Obviously, if she's just getting a hydraulic garage, she really late, bro. People been doing that for a while. So obviously she knows some other people that's already been doing that. So, you know, just give them my email address, too.
Yeah. And you know what? What Tony was talking about, too, with the staff and the nannies, I bet you those kids probably say, well, you know, you want to play with Johnny tonight? Well, have his people call my people at age 8.
We really need to keep all this stuff in perspective, because, you know, their level of broke is really not our level of broke. You know what I'm saying? If you only got $5 million and I'm sitting on $25 million, you broke to me, pal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You might not even go to the same hangout I go to. It's not to say that you're not a millionaire. You just ain't my kind of millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
You preach it, brother.
And again, as I always say, money only means something to the people that don't have it. It don't mean nothing to the people that do.
Mm-hmm. True. It's very
yes.
true.
And to the wonderful smart people out there, as they like to stroke the fires of irrelevance, and that's what a great deal of these talk shows do, and wonderful news shows and stuff, they just stoke the fires of irrelevance, because what the hell does that have to do with what's going on out here in these streets for the rest of us? That's the question that I love to ask. And, you know, we don't need to be talking about what some Democratic strategist said about Mrs. Romney. We need to be talking about the level of blasted unemployment out here in this street. We need to be talking about why oil companies and corporations are sitting on record profits but not increasing their payrolls. And we need to be talking about a whole host of stuff.
As long as we can distract you, we ain't got to talk about nothing.
You know what
war
I mean?
War on women. Uh-huh.
As long as I can distract you, we're going to talk about what I want to talk about, because you're not focused.
There you go. And now, still stoking the fires of irrelevance, I'm going to touch on Trayvon one more time in this whole conversation about Mr. Zimmerman and all that. Let's be realistic, ladies and gentlemen, because sometimes, you know, I spread my what I listen to. It'll be shocking for a lot of y'all to know the programs I listen to. I listen to a wide variety of programs because I like to take in a multitude of opinions on what's going on in this nation of separation that they're
mm-hmm.
trying to engage us in.
Mm-hmm.
And a great deal of the questions have these undertones that truly bother me, as though when we're speaking of the Trayvon Martin situation and they speak about the pressure that was applied and yada, yada, yes, pressure was applied, but let's be realistic. Pressure needed to be applied, and truthfully, what's the undertone of what a lot of these people are saying is not that, oh, the pressure was applied and they've reacted. What they're truly saying is how dare the have-nots have anything to question our blasted system, as though the system is so perfect and it is not flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Injustices have been conducted upon the have-nots for decades. And once again, I like to stick to the center. I won't just say black people, because black people are not the only people that have been wronged in this country. The Irish were wrong. The blasted Chinese were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The Filipinos were wrong. The Native Americans were wrong. And we can go on and on and on and on. The system is not perfect. And as you ask these questions pertaining to our freedoms, you're not saying, oh, well, you know, this and that. Like they keep talking about the new Black Panther Party and the anger. Of course they're blasted angry. I don't support nor condone the new Black Panther Party, nor do most white people condone neo-Nazi organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we giving these fringes, these people that are on the outskirts, we're throwing them up? Why you don't use a show like Even Can a Player Play, where there is a certain level of civility in our discussions pertaining to the questions? You're going to throw up a radio broadcast from the new Black Panther Party.
Well, if you want civility, why the hell am I here? Huh?
Because we hold you in high regard, my dear friend, because we hold you in high regard.
Well, don't let this, you know, the lack of civility, the lack of uncivility right now fool you, okay? Wait till 702 comes along or something like that.
Oh, man, y'all hurt her feelings last time, man. Y'all didn't even let
Y'all? Did you just say y'all?
Y'all. Joe hurt her feelings, and you cut her off. So y'all hurt her feelings. So, you know, she sounded like she was about to cry when she got off the phone.
Oh, damn. Oh.
And so, here we are again. Now, Joe, are you ready to start launching grenades? I'm going to give you the go ahead, Joe. What do you have to say, my brother?
About what, 702?
No, about some of the topics we're discussing or introduce something new. We're discussing our freedom.
I think she's back, and I hope she is, because I'm tired of y'all picking on my friend.
Okay, looks like you met 702, and all of a sudden she opened up something.
For real, what is up with this brown nosing, brother?
Yeah, geez, what'd you do, meet her over the weekend and give her a little bit of penicillin?
No, it's the love tonic. It's the elixir of love. See, I penetrated her mental stratosphere, and she was able to understand what you guys are trying to get her to comprehend, and she understood it on a high plane, and you guys would not give her the credit that she was due.
Hey, Joe, is this like when he was in the strip club doing research?
Oh, yeah, right. That's my PhD is in vertical pole dancing. Right. Isn't that right, Diddy?
Well, see, you guys aren't being 100% fair, and I'm just trying to level the playing field. You know, I have to be the voice of reason, because I know sometimes you guys don't give
a
fair sex.
What is it with you guys? You started off last week's show where everybody's a freaking idiot.
Well, thank you.
Come on, Diddy. You took my place there. I hope you got all the email you deserved.
Well, you guys wanted to talk about are we truly free, so I was just trying to help out. I was trying to make sure you guys would understand.
Joe, did you throw us under the bus, brother?
Oh, God, is he ever. And then you talk about wearing galoshes like about 16 inches tall. Will you stop with the bullshit? Ah, Diddy, you must have penetrated something other than her stratosphere of brain power.
Joe, boy. Diddy just done, I don't know, somebody done jumped him.
I am totally appalled. How could you guys even think?
You guys, there it goes. I know.
He's trying to lump us with him in penetration. Where is 702? I want to find out about this penetration. They must have hooked up over the weekend for this.
There's no such thing to even find out about.
I bet she sent you an email and you said, "Oh my poor sweet thing. Can we talk about us on the show and I'm and that dastardly Joe?" Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm still just sitting here in shock when it comes to K. Diddy.
Hey, well, listen, can you let the lady in so she can represent herself, defend herself? Could you do that?
Oh, God, they did hook up. Oh, for God's sake.
I won't even honor that with a response.
Yeah, okay. You know what 702 is going to do when she gets on the air? Hi, Diddy.
And that's where we are. But look, ladies and gentlemen, stay. We're going to take a quick little musical break. Then we're going to come back and we're going to let Diddy go through the motions. And we're going to have anybody that wants to join the phone conversation pertaining to are we truly free. We're going to get into that a little bit. This is how we're going to roll right now.
Hey, I'm Savin Gavia, and you are now listening to Can a Player Play live every Sunday at 2:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Make sure you check out these good fellas at www.facebook.com/playerology. And also, make sure to get your copy of the new book entitled Who Is She and What Is She to You on Amazon or worldmovement.com. Can a Player Play? Oh, pretty Tony. Put in a...
I'm on it as you squeeze me like you
need me. It's literal that you succeed because you got my knees weak. I'm ready for whatever, baby, don't tease me. I need it like a gift today, continue as you please me. I'm here to testify you all that I got. Let's make it happen while I wait now. Leave it, I'm not. I'm ready.
Here we are. Here we are. Yeah. This one right here is for the people.
Welcome back to the show, Can I Play Players in the Building. Your boy Pretty Tony coming back to you, Damian, Marley, and Nas. Spreading a message of patience and understanding, spreading a message of questioning everything. We're back live on the show. As always, the show is brought to you by www.worldmovement.com, the official sponsors of the show.
as we move forward with the show, today's topic, are we truly free? As always, we're joined by Joe from Montana. Joe, you with us?
Here, here.
And Mr. K. Diddy Esquire.
Yay, yay.
Today's topic that we're stepping on a few toes and we're getting the conversation started about truly understanding that are we truly free in this day and time? Are we truly living life to our fullest potential? Are we putting our best foot forward to grow as a people, as a race, as a nation? So we're promoting some thought today. We were discussing things from a political standpoint about the conversation about Mitt Romney. We were also discussing the undertones of a lot of the conversations about people who are demanding some measure of justice from Mr. Trayvon Martin. I think in a nation such as ours, we have the right to ask questions. And we have a libertarian on the show. We have somebody such as myself who tends to stick to the center. And we have K. Diddy who just goes basically wherever the hell K. Diddy wants to go. So,
in my own defense, because I happen to be the voice of reason, so that's the direction that I go. But
now,
anyway, before we went on our musical break, man, 702 was trying to get in, and you guys purposely left her out again.
Well, then, hold on. Let's see if you have something to add to the content and conversation. Anybody else that wants to join the show, number one, step in. If you have something on your heart, if we have upset you, if we have promoted a trend of thought, let us know. 702, welcome to the show.
I have a question for Joe.
Oh, brother.
Yes.
Joe, why is it every time you're always talking about me, but yet you can't stand my gut? Have I hit a nerve or something? Have I tapped it and hit it in the right spot that you have to constantly talk about me?
I only talk about you because you're a pain.
Because you love me, Joe. You want me to tap it every time. My juices must taste that good to you because you always tolerate 702.
Well, you're not the only 702, but you're only 702 that comes here, and then after you start off really nice and sweet,
you go there, Joe. I'm sitting there trying to give you
mid-comment
and trying to see your guys' point of view, and yet you're still always talking down to me like, oh, she's just trying to sit there and say something else negative.
Here's the bipolar.
No, because I'm not even like that, Joe.
Let me intervene here because we're getting off the subject of the show, and I don't want you guys to have your personal laundry on the air for all our listeners, lovers. So
no,
are
I
we truly
come on
free?
No, Diddy, to talk about him or to him. I come on the show to talk to you and Pretty Pony about the topic. That's all calling my name.
All right. Well, Joe's not talking right now. He's being quiet. He's going to let
I'm going to stay quiet.
He's going to let you make your point in regards to the topic today because we are drawing a truce today.
Right.
You guys can fight tomorrow.
Right.
I have no reason to fight with him for good.
No, good God Almighty.
Are we truly free is the
no.
topic. So what you got to say about that?
Mm-hmm.
We're not truly free. We will never be free until we're off this planet. And once we're in the Lord's hands, then we'll be truly free because right now we're living in hell. All the sin, all the negativity, all the racism, just everything. We're not free.
You concur, Joe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do.
Wow. I am a good mediator. You hear that, Tony? I got a degree on something.
I got
you,
man. You opened the door, brother. That's why I remained quiet because I was seeing where you're going with it.
He did.
Because I'm glad you mediated and brought it back to where the topic of the show, questioning our freedoms. And she made her point, and Joe was man enough to let her make the point. Anybody else want to chime in? press the number one. If you want to keep listening, we're going to keep rolling. She did bring up a good point about, you know, but racism, a lot of times, and here's where I'm going to upset a lot of good folks right now. A lot of times when we paint the picture of the history of this country, which slavery and racism was a major part of because of colonialism, we like to put things into two words that I think we use too much, a lot of. Racism and slavery. We have graduated to a bigger form of oppression now. The bigger form of oppression is those that have and those who have more and the have-nots. That is who we are, and the spectrum of have-nots has grown beyond a skin color. It is now grown, as I said before, when I referred to urban male or even urban females, we are a class of people that come from a variety of backgrounds. And as the rich get richer and the separation of poverty and wealth and the middle class dying grows, we've basically been put on a boat by ourselves.
Man, but see, you'd have to think there was always a middle class, man. I never accepted the fact that it was a middle class. It always was a have and a have not in the house or out in the field. It's always been like that. When did the middle class get created?
Some would say the middle class got created maybe in the early 60s, the 50s, when a lot of people were afforded their, you know, homes. You were able to buy a Cadillac or something of that nature. That's when the middle class was supposedly created, where you get the American dream, whereas you get a 30- or 40-year mortgage and spend the rest of your damn life paying that mortgage and paying those car notes, and they keep giving you things to enslave you more. And that's where the word enslavement is coming from now, because we are slaves to commercial things now. We are slaves to chasing dreams that some are just unattainable. That's why so many people, including myself, and I want to make sure I throw myself under the bus when I say this, became slaves to our credit cards. We became slaves to the car companies. We became slaves to big screen TVs or your boom box or buying our children $100 sneakers when, you know, we only had a $300 check. And we've become slaves to all these things. Hold on. Somebody else is trying to join the show. This is this says 702, but it's a different 702. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Pretty Tony.
Hello. Welcome.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud.
Okay. I just wanted to briefly say that I do not believe we are free. Our minds are being shackled, and our very essence is the last thing we have that most of us are trying to fight for. And since then, they're labeling us, they're murdering our children, and they try to hide the truth from us. And those who have tried to reveal the truth have mysteriously gone missing. And then to add insult to injury, they have tried to take away our light within and remove our religion. So this isn't about racism. It isn't about slavery nor politics. This is about the elite group who have mastered the art of destruction by creating a system that we have become a part of. Do you not agree?
Ooh, sister got deep on us. I like you. Stay in this.
I agree.
I'm the first one jumping on that.
I agree for the simple fact that whoever create the game also create the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And earlier, Pretty Tony, you said something about being shackled as far as the video games and computers and TVs, of course. Because if you notice, when you meditate, you notice you find you get that overwhelming feeling as if God is trying to talk to you, but they don't want you to meditate. They want you to watch VH1 and see what basketball wives are talking about. They don't want you to discover and realize that heaven is within the mind, the human mind. So they're trying to reconstruct the human mind. And it's actually working. You go to a video right now. You go on YouTube and you look at something pertaining to Common or Lupe Fiasco, and they may have about 70,000 views. And you look at Lil Wayne, and he has 16 million views. And it's ostensible now. The ignorance is ostensible. It's in front of everyone. And then the ones who were sitting in the back seat last week, you said that we were asleep at the wheel and that we were going to get into an accident. And the ones in the back seat are being witnessed, and they're not doing anything. And we are going to crash, and we are feeding the belly of the beast. And we will not have
it. My sister, hold on, because I noticed Joe is so quiet over there. And Mr. Joe, are you there, my brother?
Yeah, but there's nothing for me to, to contradict. She's saying everything that the prior 702 was saying, which I agree with, and Diddy agrees with, and you agree with. The whole show.
But hold on, my brother. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, because I don't want to put a title on you, aren't you an atheist, my brother?
Agnostic, uh-huh.
An agnostic. So you're agreeing with the principles that she's expounding about the God within and such also?
Well, if people want to see the God within them, that's up to them. To me, the God is like the human spirit. I don't believe in a God, unless not the Catholic God, not the Christian God. Because
I think
Catholic,
we can all concur with that one, brother.
Okay.
I don't agree either, Joe. But I do agree and know that there is a light within us all. That's why sometimes when you're almost in that car accident and somehow you survive and you what's the first thing that come out of your mouth? Oh, my God, or thank God, you know, but they're trying to take that away. They're trying to take, I don't agree with the hypocrite, you know, Christians and the Muslims, because everyone wants to attack each other. But this is what they did first. Had we stuck together as a unity, as a family, because we all do bleed the same blood, by the way, we probably would have accomplished a great deal by now. But what they did is they said, okay, look, we're going to make the French hate the Germans. We're going to make the we're going to have the whites hate the blacks. The Spanish are going to hate the El Salvadorians. The Mexicans hate the El Salvadorians. And the Russians are going to hate the Colombians. That way, they can't stick together because now they hate each other. And then to add even further insult to injury, people began hating each other. So here you have the Russians hating the Russians, hating the whites,
I love you. I love you.
What's truly the sad part is, okay, now that everybody's aware of the whole divide and conquer game, we got that part of it. But once you realize, half the problem is realizing what the problem is. But once you find out what the problem is, and you don't do nothing about it.
You have to figure out what the solution. Yeah.
Right. And you don't do nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? To me, that's the sad part, and I think that's where a lot of people are falling off right there. Okay, we know what the problems are. We know what they have been. We know we're living in a racist country. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that. Okay, we know that. But where's the focus on what to do about it? That's what I'm at. That's where everybody's falling off.
Well, that is exactly the problem. And for anyone who is listening to this show right now, I just want to inform you that we are truly sheep right now, people, because we have so many cowards. The ones who Bob Marley once said, how long will we stand aside and watch them kill our prophets? Because we are cowards. We're so good to talk a good game. You know, even a Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm going to ride for Jesus. I'm going to take one for the team. The mark of the beast won't get me. And when Jesus was here, what happened? And I'm not speaking like a Christian. I'm just saying, suppose this was a true story. When he was here, who had his back? No one. But they talk a good game. And that's how it always is. You know what I mean? It's always a good game. Well, it's always good to talk. Your actions do not speak louder than your words. And then everyone
Hold on, sister. We got somebody else trying to join the conversation. The sister has come and shut the show down.
Uh-huh.
438 area code. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe. It's Stanley. How are you?
Hey.
Here we go again. I'm sorry. The sister is wrong. I don't believe in God the same way that he is. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in that concept. I believe that the whole concept of God brought us down, period. It made us believe that we're sinners. It made us believe that we're bad people. It made us believe that you can't have greatness without a Bible or a book telling you. So that's why I'm against the whole concept of God. Second of all, when we're talking about why we're down and things like that, because we never learn how to become rich. We never learn how to become wealthy. We all learn how to become employees, because that means working for somebody. We never learn how to say, you know what, how do we create money? How do we make money? How do you want to make $100,000? Show me how to do it. You want to make $1 million a year? Show me. Because let's not get it twisted. The people who invent things get $90, $100, $50 billion. So they have no problem with money. The only problem we have is middle class. It's us that has a problem with it. We work 9 to 5 for people who are paying less than there is. We get our paycheck and everybody takes from our paycheck. And then we complain. And then we're like, oh, look at him, he became rich. No, he created something. So the God concept and everything, we got to get that out of the way. The employee concept, we got to get that out of the way if we want to be real to ourselves and create things. We don't know how to create things. And that brings to paycheck to paycheck. And the God concept, no. When I die and an accident will happen, I will not say, oh, thank God, or what happened to me. I won't. I'm an unbeliever, and trust me, I don't believe in that crap.
And you have the right to do so, and that's probably, and you know, judging by the tone of your voice, you sound very angry, and maybe you have a lot of underlying
issues. No, I'm not angry. I am not angry. I'm a person who knows their Bible as much as you, and I've told all the people, if you want to be a person like me, an unbeliever, read your Bible from left and right. Christian people, you don't know your Bible, because when we come out with things on the Bible...
I'm not a Christian, and first of all, you're talking about employees and how we don't know anything. If that is the case, why is it that some of us wake up and we feel like we're supposed to be spreading the word? So you, I'm not a Christian, and I stated that earlier. You sound ignorant. You're that fucking soft guy who calls the show crying about being her all the time. We don't want to hear your bullshit today. This is about the people and freedom. This is about freedom, you fucking belligerent idiot. This is about freedom, you belligerent idiot. This is about freedom, you goddamn fool.
Hold on. Here we go again.
Can we restore some measure of civil conversation?
Get that fucking emotional piece of shit off of the line. We're talking about freedom.
Why?
We are talking about freedom.
Hold
we are talking
emotional.
About what is going on out there in the world. Fuck your employment, you piece of shit. Employment is the last thing you need to worry about when there are children who are in North Korea right now dying and they won't even let the Red Cross in there to help them, you piece of shit.
Hold on, 702.
Whoa. Did I call your name?
We got to stop
can
that.
Can we please get along?
Hold on. We got to stop that. Obviously, we have struck a nerve. And when you discuss religion, politics, love, sex, money, anything of that nature, the conversation tends to become very heated. Yes, sweetie, she is upset. She sounds very upset, but the young man upset her because the young lady, quite frankly, said earlier in the show that she's not a Christian. And I'm going to let them back on, but lady, I'm going to let you back on, 702, to finish making your point.
And can I just add one thing also? We welcome everybody's opinion. And you have the
absolutely.
Right to agree, to disagree, but we do welcome and encourage people to have their opinion,
mm-hmm.
whatever they may be.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we have got to be, if you're shouting over each other, we can't hear what you're trying to say. So 702, you're back live. You can finish your point, man.
Okay, thank you.
I'm glad you
and
asked.
You're back online, Mr. Fortress.
I'd like to apologize for my behavior, but you know we're talking about right, and he's talking about left. Yeah, that's fine and dandy, but we're talking about freedom. We're not free. If we were free, why do we have to answer so many questions on an application? Why are we all assigned Social Security numbers? Why do they have
okay.
to know where you are? Even if you go on like a social site now, you have to tell them how you know your friend on Facebook. Like, get out of here. How are we free?
Okay, let me then. Me too, I would like to apologize. You didn't say that you were a Christian. I apologize for that part. We're not free to answer your question. We're not free because from the beginning, we learned basically. okay, you go to school. We've all had that speech. I think you've had it also. Go to school, get the best grade you can. Then you go to a company, work hard, and you move up. That's the speech that I had when I was little. That's the speech that all my family had and everything. We're not free because we don't know how to create things. There's a difference between being a producer of things and there's a difference between being a consumer of things. We're all consumers. The producer has all the power. That means the producer has the people who are responsible for making you fill out those paper, fill out the social insurance number, all those things. They have the power. You don't. And I'm being real. I'm not trying to disrespect you. I'm just being real.
I understand. I understand. And Pretty told me, or KDD or Joe, what is your intake?
I'll let Joe go ahead. Joe been so quiet today. So, Joe, go ahead first, brother.
First off, I know Stanley. Stanley wasn't disrespecting you, 702. When he came on here, he said that the concept was full of crap. He didn't mean you. I hope that it didn't come apparently, it came across like that. But I know that Stanley wasn't attacking you personally. Okay? He was not agreeing with your particular concept. I don't know when he got here, so if he had gotten here maybe a few minutes earlier, he would have heard your particular perspective on God and spirituality and the inner self. So since I know him, I want to stick up for him for that.
As you should. That is your partner, your friend, whatever he is. That is your friend, and as you should. But I'm asking, what is your input on what he is saying?
I agree with them totally. I agree that we are mainly consumers. We're not producers, whether black or white or Chinese. We're not. Most people who are rich are the old originators of businesses. But there's nothing that can I had this discussion with other people. There's nothing that's preventing anybody from doing their own business as well. Just because you may not like the business, for example, there's nothing that's preventing anybody here on this line who wants to make more money to open up a delicatessen. You look around, you try to find an empty storefront, and you put a delicatessen in there, and then you open up another one. Okay? And yes, we are trained to be worker ants. We're not trained to be creative thinkers in terms of starting our own businesses. Usually the business is a measure of last resort when somebody can't make it in corporate America. So I agree with them totally on that. And in terms of God, Tony and Diddy, you know, I'm an agnostic. I don't believe in God. I believe that there's a possibility that there's a God, but it sure as hell is not a Christian God. It's not a Catholic God. It's not this all-powerful, all-merciful bullshit. And that's part of the show today, where we're not free. We're programmed from cradle to grave to think the bullshit that, you know, the people who want to control everything want us to think. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And to give you a perfect example for this, when I come into anybody, perfect example, Peyton Manning, got paid $90 million for 5 years of contract. And when I tell that to everybody, everybody's looking at me, oh, it's perfectly normal. But we're ready to work our butts off for $50,000 or $60,000 or, let's say, $100,000? Really? Who's going to have a better life? A guy who has $90 million in his pocket, who has possibility of doing things, of being charitable to the things that he believes in, or a person who gets $100,000?
Definitely the millionaire. And we have to save up all of our money just to have a really decent vacation when he could just jump and fly to France whenever he feels like it. So,
exactly.
I agree with that.
And there you go. And so, once again, since we have restored some measure of
that's civility. That's what I don't like. I want more uncivility. And I don't like Stan and Diddy taking over my spot as the uncivil animal on this show.
Yes, Joe enjoys the anarchy. But, ladies and gentlemen, we on this show, all like K. Diddy so eloquently put it, my esteemed colleague, we welcome all the views. And in regards to the young lady's question about what I think, my personal belief is this, that there are things far greater than ourselves at work. We don't even understand ourselves yet, let alone to understand something of a universal cosmic level. The cookie-cutter, store-bought, milk carton version of what one wants to believe, what we're taught when we were younger, I find lots of flaws in that theory. I find flaw in anything that is designed to organize us like sheep inside of a damn area and put us all together and just be like, believe, believe, believe. Because I know that no one truly, everything in life is theory, so it is open to being questioned. Everything in life is open to be investigated and queried. That is why we are born with this will to think, and they're trying to remove it from us. If you look up at the night sky, it humbles you to understand that we ain't nothing, man. Even this earth that we live on, this bubble, and it is a bubble, which could just be the figment of somebody's imagination, is just a bubble. There are millions, billions of stars, planets, and things going on out in the cosmos that affect us on a daily basis. And so I believe in a universal creator, so an energy that creates life, that does not suffer from emotion. Emotion is a human trait. Jealousy and envy and something that is man-made are all things that are inside of us. An energy that can create millions and billions of stars and our time, whether you live on this planet for 100 years, in the scope of life, that is just a sand grain. So an entity that creates life in billions and millions of years has no time for the petty little things that we would like to believe. And, of course, Christianity and even everything about being in any kind of religion was designed for control. Free your mind. Question everything. That's why I enjoy philosophy, even though sometimes the philosophers themselves are full of shit. But question everything. You're supposed to question everything, or else you're going to go through life blindly and not develop to your full potential. And that's what the topic of the show is all about today, our freedom to free our minds so you question everything. It's sort of like I tell people, even in a relationship, don't blindly fall into relationships. But even if we talk about God, a corporation, a relationship, all of that ties into life. And you're not supposed to just blindly follow, put your blasted blinders on and just march, 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 march.
Tell them.
But that's what people do. That's what people
and
do.
That is what people do.
That's why they wake up on Monday morning. They're all going to wake up. They're all going to complain about work. They're all going to go. They're going to gossip about work. Damn, this happened, that happened. And then they're going to be, what do you think the scene is? Happy Friday.
And then they're going to wake up and do it all over again.
Exactly. And then they're going to say 20, 30 years later, what happened to my life?
Exactly.
And that's a very good question.
Don't forget about your fake gold watch that you get. You get a
oh
fake gold watch.
Oh,
you got it before I did. You got it before I did, didn't you?
Wait. Don't forget about the cubic zirconia earrings either. Don't forget about those.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I didn't know when they retired you, they gave you those. I do know about the 30-year fake homeowners policy. You know, you pay for your shit for 30 years and never really own it. And most of the senior citizens now can't afford to even remain in their homes. So they end up, you know, having to sell and move out and go to some senior citizen's place or go stay with their in-laws or something. So what did you work 30 years for real?
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
So that falls right into the enslavement that I'm talking about. They enslave us to these philosophies. They lock our minds into digging yourself into debt. They lock your minds into believing in a false sense of security, sort of coming right back to the gated community that even somebody that's 400 pounds can jump over the damn gate.
Man, they got you fools buying water, so, man, come on.
There's one thing I want to know. Stanley's got his nemesis in this 702. What happened to my 702?
You know what? I'm starting to believe that the young lady might be right, Joe.
Tony don't have a mic on. I'm snitching on him.
Well, you know what? Even though I was very nasty with Stan, I'll be his 702 since you have your 702.
Well, hold on. Since Joe requested by popular demand, let's let 702 back in because Joe misses her.
Yeah,
I just want
702's all right with me.
I know.
Something's
up with that.
K. Diddy, damn.
I know.
Grab your balls, brother. got the balls.
I got balls, but I'm coming up for election just because I'm smarter than you. Don't hate.
Okay.
Oh, listen. Yeah, you must have talked. Never mind. If I say 702, how are you?
Hello.
Okay, good.
How are you, Jim?
You're there.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I've been listening to the show, just listening to everybody's opinion and everything. And, you know, that's all. I just wanted to know why he was always talking, bringing up my name. So.
Okay. So, there you go. So, that's all she has to say. She's listening today.
Yeah.
So,
how about that?
Satisfied? Has that thirst been quenched?
That's right.
Not really. Not until she sits on his face, pretty Tony. I don't really think it's quenched.
Well, that all depends.
Oh,
man. Oh.
Here we go again.
Here we go again.
702, where are you, beautiful? Come sit on Joe's face for me.
Hold on, we got somebody else trying to join the conversation. Let's see what
we got. An hour and a half today.
Five, 561, you're on live with the show. Welcome. You want to add yourself to the gumbo we got going on?
Yeah, absolutely. How you doing?
We're doing well.
We're doing well.
Good. Yeah, I wanted to jump in a little bit. I know I just mentioned and heard you guys, or I just happened to hear you guys talking about your saying something about how we're slaves to the system because we pay in for 30 years for a home, and then people lose their homes and stuff.
Go ahead.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, in my opinion, that's their own damn fault for that, because if you can't save up, if it takes you 30 years to pay off a mortgage, which is the normal time for it, but if it takes you that long and then you're sitting there at the end and you don't have enough money to pay your taxes and you didn't save anything because you always had to go out and buy that nice car, that's your own damn fault.
I agree.
But let me ask you a question. Would it not make a difference if you, let's say you have a salary which is $50,000 a year, $60,000 a year, compared to a person who has $1 million a year? Don't you think you have better power if you have $1 million a year? Every year we're paying you $1 million. In 5 years, I have what you have in your entire 20 years of working. That's totally different. Those are two different doors.
The point.
Well, here's the deal, though, is that you have, yes, there is two different wages, but guess what? That guy who's making $1 million a year, all of his toys, he's not driving a Honda. He's driving a BMW, or he's driving a nicer car. So, and he has a nicer home, things like that. He's got a little bit of a different taste in life than what a guy making $50,000 would make. And you know what? If someone's making $50,000, that's still more than enough to live on. Yeah, you may not be able to buy that new car all the time, but if you save your money and don't, you know, you're not going out spending $15 for drinks at the bar every weekend and going to the club and hanging out and buying Bimbo's $15 Mai Tais, you'll be doing all right.
But do you know that people, there's people who've done what you've asked them. They saved for 20 years and they lost it all when the retirement came up. You know that happened. You know that.
How did they lose it?
Because the 401, because it's stock. And if stock goes down, you're done. Stock goes down.
Oh, come on. You got to be kidding me. That's a total scam.
Okay, you want a perfect example? Let's talk about an example. Mendel. Remember what happened with Mendel? He stole over $50 million.
Well, if you gave your money to Bernie Madoff, you're a total sucker. That's all I gotta say. If you put it into a traditional 401k, that money went down back in 2008, 2009. Then it went right back up. It's actually up now.
Do I need to name companies that did money on you? What about the time? Remember the time where companies were only internet companies in 2000 and it just crashed and burned? How many people invested in those companies?
Here's the deal. That if you put all your money into one stock, you're a total sucker.
I didn't. I'm just telling you that a lot of people 401ks
are a sucker, too. Same thing with pensions.
Exactly.
401ks are not for suckers. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they are because of the flash.
Yes, they are.
Because of the flash back in 2010, the flash, the flash bull market that happened one day.
Exactly.
401ks are not are not really open for people to really invest the money in into what they want. Only in the past few years have they been able to have that type of flexibility. It's still not allowed until a few months ago.
Somebody else can go fishing.
I can tell you in my 401k that I have an option of selecting all different types of funds. That
can you invest in gold?
Why would I want? Oh, okay. This is a conspiracy theory show then? Because gold is not a safe
investment.
Can
you invest in gold?
Gold is a scam, sir.
Can you or can't you?
You cannot invest in gold because it's a scam.
Well, I didn't ask if you wanted to. I asked if you could. They weren't allowing you to do that if you wanted to. You couldn't invest in other types of silver mines or gold mines until maybe a few months ago. Maybe. So the 401ks were open and susceptible to hedge fund managers and the people who were controlling your 401ks, regardless of whether you knew it or not, same as pension funds. So people lost back in 2008, 2009, and 2010 billions of dollars in 401ks. Because
they didn't lose it because they didn't sell. They didn't lose it unless they sold.
Well,
No. The prices went down. They
lost their
money.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Because right now they're right back to the same spot they were.
Yeah.
If not a little bit higher.
Oh, they did if they didn't take the money out. Maybe. And, approaching 13,000. Why is it we're approaching 13,000 on the stock market?
The
economy is starting to rebound.
I know it's beginning to rebound, but why? Because of all the money that the Federal Reserve has been printing up, which has been now transferred over to the funds, the coffers of the hedge fund managers who are investing in the stock market. It's not because the so-called millions of people who are investing in the stock market who are propelling it. It's hedge fund managers and speculators.
And sir, you forgot that another thing important also, inflation. What about that? That's another thing that's the 1 million in 1980 doesn't give you the same power as 1 million in 2012. Those are two different things.
Well, you're
1
right.
million in 1980.
That's why you put it in stock.
That doesn't mean you
no,
make
but you
said
the average.
You put $1 million
average,
in a stock, it's going to go up with inflation too.
Yeah, but the average person is not going to put no money in stocks because they're not even. They're not even sharp enough to want to gamble in stocks. So why would they put their money in stocks or something they didn't know nothing about? So take a chance of losing what money they do
have.
It doesn't take anything.
All you got to do is go in and buy some blue chip stock. You can go on ShareBuilder in 5 minutes, you can put in $25 a week or $25 a month.
Without your control, you can do that, but you don't know what you're doing. That's why lose their money.
You've got to have an education to do it.
Well,
that's the way the system is.
Yeah, but we're talking about
say that again, my brother. You just hit the nail on the head. That's what we're talking about today, the freedom and the lack thereof of people educating themselves enough to understand the game that's being played. And it is a game. Playing in the stock market.
And by the way, sir, what happened when we crashed in 2008 about the house thing? Do you know that the banks were not very honest? That basically the bank was counting on people being bankrupt and taking that money and being in an insurance on that, and then after that, selling that as an action to everybody. That's how they made their money. And everybody lost their money.
Banks got everybody's houses,
they
and they reselled them
money.
Houses.
Exactly.
Here's the thing, guys. Everyone wants to talk about predatory lending. What about predatory borrowing? These people
that
were making
too.
20,000. Yep. Okay. Good. I was just making sure that we were on the same page.
Absolutely, that happened too.
We're talking about the same thing. It's about an action that basically the bank said, "Let make sure that I'm still going to get money even though you can't pay." And that's what they did. And they made major money, and then they crashed and burned in front of their face. But they still made money. They still were making money. They were making money behind our back. We didn't know about those things.
The robo-signing and stuff like that. But also, to conform with what this guy's saying, there were people who did take out mortgages who, you know, of course, weren't creditworthy whatsoever. But there were also a bunch of mortgage lenders who actually steered people away from prime mortgages to subprime mortgages because they were getting an incentive to do so. People who hadn't taken out houses before and who had fallen for the advertisements of no credit check, they came on in, they wanted to put down some money, but the goddamn fuck said, you don't really have to do that. We have another program for you over here. How many millions of them fell for that? I don't know. But that's another reality.
Yeah, and by the way, they had the people that were supposed to protect us, who were supposed to grade those actions and say it was AAA and everything, they were getting paid by the bank and saying, you know what, put it as AAA, put it as a double A plus, put it at this, put it at that. So people who are me and you, who doesn't know that those deals are happening, that the bank are doing those deals, we're like looking at an action and saying, hey, it's AAA, it must be good, so let me invest my money in that. And next thing you know, you find out
it
wasn't
AAA. Well, are you talking about bonds? Because when you're, if you're talking about AAA and stuff, you're talking about bonds.
Yes, backed up by the mortgages, which were backed up by the bank.
What the bank did. The bank took the mortgages, and basically they took those mortgages and made it an action to become an action that you could be selling as stocks and bonds and everything. And then they went to the people who were supposed to grade them, and they graded them at AAA, even though those people could not pay their bills.
Let me jump in for one moment, gentlemen. Let me jump in here for one moment. I want to say that as we're talking about being truly free, everything that we're talking about, because I know some people are probably wondering, what does this have to do with freedom? It has a lot to do with it, because we all are bought and sold. Our lives are bought and sold on a daily basis. Mortgage back our loans and stuff. Bundling, when you're starting to operate an entire economic system based upon a complex computer-generated theory, and nobody bothered to free their mind and question it because they just hooked on to the gravy train and we wonder how we got to where we got, It comes back to not freeing our mind and somebody pulling away and be like, yo, I'm a brilliant person and I can't even figure this damn equation out. Who came up with this shit? And this is what we're basing people's pensions on. As we're talking about investing and stuff, entire pensions were wiped out, man. Entire pensions were wiped out.
Exactly.
Are you talking about derivatives, or what are you talking about when you're saying something fancy equation for pensions? Because pensions are
the CD swaps, which were backing up the derivatives, is what I'm talking about.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go.
Okay, because pensions are totally different. The way a pension is calculated, they spell that out clearly in a summary plan description when you
people
work for
don't
any
read
company.
It.
Yeah, but when the pension, but when you have somebody who's running the pension company, hold on, when you have somebody who's running the pension company and trying to increase the level of profits that the pension has at their disposal, they are trying, they go and invest with mortgage-backed derivatives and stuff of that nature, and they lost. People were wiped out, completely wiped out.
Yeah, but you know what his contention is, and he's right. People have to take responsibility for their own signatures. But
thank you, sir. That's
Joe,
what I'm trying to say.
I
agree with you, Joe, but how can you take responsibility when we're not putting the cards straight? The bank didn't tell us straight up. We had to find out. We didn't know about all those things that was happening before 2008 crash. That's where we
that
had
comes
the standards
back.
And everything.
That comes back to the same thing I say about, like, Obamacare. Who the hell reads a 2,700-page document?
Exactly.
Now, as you're signing paperwork, as you're signing paperwork and this person across from you, and I know there's an assumption of risk when you're signing paperwork, but this person across from you has made a trust bond with you and you're signing 20-page documents with fine prints and legal language that most of us never comprehend, who truly sits and reads every word on there? Somebody who has a certain level of intelligence may do so, but the average person is not going to read a 30-page document or a 15-page document, and that's how they bury the details.
But it all goes back to, I guess what I'm trying to say, and I understand what you're saying, but it all goes back to, what I'm saying is it goes back to personal responsibility. We need to stop looking at government. Okay, there we go. Perfect. That's all I'm trying to say is that, I mean, it comes back to personal responsibility, and we need to get away from, there's a lot of people in America today that look to government to help us out every time they
screw up. You're
100%
correct.
I think we're getting at the same thing. We're just going at it from two different routes. If more people thought like us, then you know what? Our country wouldn't be in debt.
It's all about freeing your mind.
Being ignorant.
Well, then I love you guys. You guys are great.
Being ignorant.
Capital, You guys sound like capitalists, and I love anyone who's a capitalist is a friend of mine.
Well,
free your mind. Free your mind, ladies and gentlemen.
But there's
another thing, too,
which Stan touched upon, was the, and which you said, Tony, there's a trust bond, too. There are people do trust, okay? People should bring a lawyer to the, you know, to the signing when you're trying to buy a house. But a lot of people don't. They can't afford it. But the thing
you
is,
you can't trust a lawyer.
Huh?
Well, can't trust a lawyer.
Yeah, you can't trust your lawyer. But even besides that, before a person gets really swindled, they want to trust their fellow man. I got swindled when I was in my 20s. When I sign something, I insist on getting a copy. Even when the particular corporate policy is not to give out copies of what you've signed for seemingly innocuous papers, I get a copy because of what I learned. And I followed the people above me because I trusted them. I knew them for over a year. But when that happens to you once, it shouldn't happen to you again. I'll bet you now, in the future, these same people lost their houses. When they're going to sign another document, especially when it comes to buying a house, they're bringing two lawyers.
Yeah, they're going to bring people to find out. But personal responsibility, I agree with you, but let's put the cart in the thing. If the bank are not telling you the truth from the beginning and say, this is what it is, how could I be personal responsibility when you're lying in front of me and saying, no, Stanley, no, Mr. Roy, this is going to be that way. And then you found out, you lied to me.
Okay,
and
well,
not only that,
I
want to finish this just before the new caller gets in there. Not only that, what about the millions of sophisticated people who graduated from Harvard and Yale and from Oxford and Cambridge who worked for various countries around the world in their particular financial system similar to Wall Street? How come they fell for the mortgage crisis? How come they fell for the CD swaps?
I got the answer to that. The caller in the chat room said it best. It's greed. A lot of people were blinded by greed and ridiculous numbers that were coming back on things that weren't supposed to be turning that much profit. It's sort of like when somebody tells you, oh, give me $10,000 and in 6 months I'm going to give you back 180% profit. And how many people have fallen for that same stupid-ass line?
Mm-hmm. But these people, they weren't supposed to. They over-leveraged themselves. That was the whole beauty of the whole thing. They trusted the credit agencies so that these junk bonds, which were backed up by the CDOs instead of the CDSs, which was the CD swaps, they trusted. Yeah, they were greedy, but they over-leveraged. They borrowed more money than they should have in order to invest in these junk bonds, which were not disclosed to them. That's why we're in the financial crisis we're in today. These junk bonds were not disclosed to these people.
And for some of my listeners, I know you're like, wow, the conversation just went way over there. That's what we're doing, Kenneth Flick.
Trust me.
What we're talking about still ties into our freedoms.
That's right.
It still ties into everything that affects our daily life, right down to your damn relationship in your home.
What we're talking about
affects you, but nobody has ever told you that. Nobody has ever told you that all these things we're talking about, mortgage-backed derivatives and pensions and all that, but you sit there wondering, how does that pertain to me? But right there is the beginning of your quest to freedom. Go spend some time reading some ish, and it will show you very vividly how this all ties into you and are we truly free. Because everything that we're talking about.
I added in a comment there on freedom.
I was just told that we chained the debt. We were chained to debt, so how can we be free?
There you go.
And for freedom, you know, the one guy hit it on the head. This absolutely ties into freedom because to truly be free, you know, I go by the old adage from the Bible that the lender is or the borrower is slave to the lender. So how can you be free? I mean, how can you be free if every time you go down the street and, you know, you owe Ted down the street $20 and you can't look him in the eye because you know you owe him $20?
You want to hear another adage? You want to hear another canard about what about that? When you, because that one says that one's about small borrowers. There's one about if you own the bank. I mean, if you owe the bank $10,000, the bank owns you. If you owe the bank $100 million, you own the bank. because he's got to revamp his whole structure in order to make sure that somebody's got to have to explain to me, too, why is a loan on the bank's balance sheet an asset, not a liability? But that's another thing. But when you owe $100 million, it's like when Trump was in the crapper a few years ago for a few billion. They restructured because they didn't want to lose, you know, a few hundred million up to a few billion. So, yeah, when you owe the bank something like $10, $1,000, hey, you know, you're worried about the repossessor. But when you owe the bank $100 million, they're worried about collecting. So, yeah.
And they'll dance. Yeah. And they'll definitely dance with you.
Yeah, yeah. And we gotta get out of the thing that we say that a house is an asset. A house is not an asset, people. A house is a liability. A house is not something, it's something that you live for, that you go to sleep and everything, but it's not an asset. It's not something that's supposed to bring you money. When you have different houses and you rent them, that brings you cash flow, then you could call those things assets. But those are things that we don't learn. We have to read those things to know those things.
Glad you said this thing. I was about to...
I think a house is an asset. It's just not an investment.
No.
It's not something you... So
there
you
go. And that is where a lot of people got confused. Your house is an asset. It's not an investment. Then when they started telling you about, oh, how long have you been in the house? You can take out a line of equity loan on the house and yada, yada, and go on and remodel and don't worry about it.
Right.
The enslavement just got deeper and deeper. And they came up with all these new complex stuff. You know what I mean? Oh, you can have a reverse mortgage. You know what? Get a loan and you pay a little bit only for 4 years, and then on the fifth year you got a balloon payment. But by then you can sell it. You know?
Oh, yeah, they don't
know
about
that. That is where we got where we are today, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you this. Like I said, I don't give a damn about the Democrats or the Republicans. The only way we're going to get out of this, it's going to take everybody's, is going to have to hurt a little bit. And that's just the truth. We can't, you know what I mean, this nation of separation that they're trying to promote, and us, you know what I mean, it's not going to work. We need to stop staring into the light of irrelevance and bullshit. I'll say it again.
Stop pointing.
Stop staring like the motherfucking deer in the headlights into the lights of irrelevance and bullshit of us against them and all that. We got to spread this pain out equally, baby. But I'm, what am I? Maybe I'm just a dreamer for saying something like that. But it's the truth. The have and the have-nots, the haves and the have-nots are constantly taking from more from the have-nots. Every time there is a budget that comes up or something of that nature, and this is what kills me. I don't care where you at. Just ask yourself this question. How can you squeeze blasted blood out of a turnip if every time there is a problem and you got to fix the budget, you're going back down to the lower end of the spectrum to somebody who already has nothing and taken from them? That doesn't make any sense to me. While those sitting at the top of the heap, like I think it's Vermont or maybe Joe said it earlier, you know, there's different kinds of broke. They, you know, a millionaire's broken, our kind of broken, and them slumming it is staying at the Marriott instead of the Waldorf Astoria. Our kind of slumming it is, you're lucky if Walmart gives you a cardboard box and say, yo, you can go lay down in that, but not right here. That's what's going on with us, man. Free mind, ladies and gentlemen. It's not, we are all not against, and I won't even address the whole racism thing. It's the haves, the have-mores, and the have-nots. And most of us on this phone right now, I'm sure not over there in the have-mores, because you wouldn't be talking to people like myself, because you'd be slumming it right now. We've got to be more accountable to each other and get out of this thing, you know what I mean? Capitalism. That might be a topic for another show. The enemy or the tools to a better life? I like that topic, Joe. You like that one, Joe?
I like that one. I like that one. I'm all for capitalism.
K. Diddy, the elixir of love. Are you for capitalism, my brother? Where do you stand on that?
I'm trying to get me some soldiers, man, so I can ford up, man, so I'll be ready for the revolution.
Oh, here we go. Will the revolution be televised, my brother?
If you got satellite TV, and I hope you're smart enough to know how to work it, because the ones that ain't learned how to read yet, they might be in trouble.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, and that's another thing. I want to make sure we address that before we get off the air. How much time? Let me ask my technician here. We're down to the last 4 minutes of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got to open ourselves up to understand that reading is fundamental. OMG and stuff of that nature cannot be put if you're asked to write a 500-word essay. LOL, LMFAO, the way our children and the generations and stuff of that nature now speak. If you're asked to write a 500-word essay, you really need to free your mind from Twitter and get back to the basic fundamentals of ABC and 1, 2, 3. As pathetic as it is the truth, and then we're wondering why so many nations have just blasted ahead of the United States of America in our world standing. Y'all need to go and read a book and understand that the Indians and the Chinese and all these countries that have made big, big moves implemented programs 30, 40 years ago that to make sure that two generations down were going to be better than two generations back. And that is something that we're not doing for each other. We're too busy engaged in the nation of separation. Free your mind from the bullshit and start thinking about our tomorrows. If you're in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s, we've got to start giving concern to what it is we're leaving our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren behind. What kind of legacy are we leaving behind? We have been enslaved by banks. Banks are the biggest pimps on the planet right now. And second behind them is the government. That is the enslavement that we are all of us are tied up in right now, because I still don't know why the IRS got to get so much of our money. But, hey, that's a topic for another show.
Oh, I can answer that.
Go ahead, my libertarian.
The Federal Reserve, without the existence of the Federal Reserve, it goes. The responsibility for printing up the money goes back to the Treasury. The Treasury has that responsibility. You can issue money without interest. Without that interest, we don't have to pay federal income taxes. I just summed up about 13, 14 fucking books on economics in that one sentence or two sentences.
Man, you just didn't want them to put that brand on your ass, so you took a Social Security number, man. Tell the truth.
Well, I had no choice. You're born with a Social Security number.
That's why y'all been slaves ever since you had one.
Oh, y'all, huh?
Yeah. I'm giving mine back.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to be in the system no more.
Yeah, nobody does.
I was trying to figure out, did the Census Bureau do anything other than keep track of how many people check in and check out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What about that new census form that came around a couple of years ago? Something like 13 pages? It's only supposed to ask you how many people live in your household, and that's it. That's all that's required constitutionally, how many people live in a particular area. But no, they want to find out how much you earn, what kind of stove you have, what kind of energy you're using, and all this other bullshit.
They're trying to keep track of y'all so they know how much money they can collect. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying, he who create the rules run the game.
Mm-hmm.
Always have.
And when you were talking before Diddy about...
And you have it, K. Diddy, the elixir of love.
Mm-hmm.
Making his point. Ladies and gentlemen, we are down to the last minute of the show. Today's show was full of a lot of emotion and a lot of people expressing themselves. And that's what we love about Kenneth Flay here on the show. You know, varying points of view can come on here and make their point, and then we hang up the phone and go our own damn blasted way.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't buy into the bullshit that other people out there trying to shovel at us. And we appreciate each and everybody who takes time to check us out. And K. Diddy, Sir K. Diddy, the elixir of love, got love for you. Pretty Tony got love for you. The Neighborhood Gentrification Committee Director, Joe Muff from Montana, got love for you. To join us next week when we're going to do this again. As we pull up out of here, free your mind.
Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. Open your eyes, look up to the sky.
try to ski it. Long distance wireless connect like how we it. W, double I, spell so you can see it. Cause it's way over their heads when I Ray Allen 3 it. I'm Rondo on the bongos when giving you my convo. We ain't been home since we was snatched out the Congo. Post the progress as I'm staring out my condo. Made it this far and I ain't never been a Santo. Yeah, as you compare me to a fucking rookie. You keep respecting new school when you played hooky. Cooked white, turned it tan, so the world snooky. School of hard knocks, look at where the game took me. To the limit like Montana with better grammar. Bigger homes with bigger guns and better cameras.
You are now listening to the future. Open your eyes, nigga. See what I see. Don't mind me. I'm just here to restore the feeling. Yeah, I'm just here to restore the feeling. You feel the pressure. Yeah.
I never pitched a penny in the wishing well, never. I laid it all on the fishing scale, yes. And an apron it hung from a kitchen nail. Straight from my memoirs as I kiss and tell. Big faces like Rushmore, touch more. Fashion trailblazers, trendsetters look to us for. The next mission when the tide dries up. With no inner vision yet they eyes wide shut. 15 years of ducking spies like us. Confidential informants disguised like us. Jail doesn't resonate with guys like us. Told Wesley at the Oscars to slide like us. Didn't listen, so prison is what they did to him. Accounting, unscathed, millions is what they hid through him.